In this portion of our Canoe Regatta interviews, I had the pleasure of speaking with Dave Price, a recent inductee into the Regatta Hall of Fame, a 700 Mile Club member, and the General Clinton race starter for 37 years. Here's our conversation. So Dave, elected into the Regatta Hall of Fame this year, what was your reaction to that?
Maybe a little humbled, a little proud.
And let's first talk about you as a committee member for, I don't know how many years now. I mean, when did you get involved?
In the regatta itself, I got involved in 68, but that was racing. Well, I'll tell you what we used to do. Jerry Curtis. Jerry and I used to, when we first started out, do the sweep behind the youth race.
Mm-hmm.
And that was back in the 60s. So actually, we had it in our blood then. We started helping then back in the 60s.
And how did you get to, like, you know, I want to race canoes? I always wonder how people got into that.
I don't know. I was weighed 190 pounds, and I figured I had to do something. But my neighbor had a canoe. A rubberized canoe from Goodyear. This is no joke. And anyway, that was what we used.
Well, how did it work? Was it heavy? Was it?
It was quite heavy. Yes, it was. It was had pretty good lines, though. Amazingly good lines for a rubberized canoe. And back then, the classes were all together. One big mess.
Then you got involved as a committee member in helping this event grow. How did that come about?
I think it was Dick Sloan asked me to do, sponsors. I think that's what it was. Yeah, asked me to do sponsors. That's how it started. That was about in the middle 70s, 1975 or something like that. Things kind of evolved, and I ended up helping Andy Peterson and Carl Hutchison starting the race. And all of a sudden, they left, and I was left holding the boat.
Well, you know, it's funny because you've raced the event. You've been a committee chairman a couple of years. You've been a committee member forever. But you're most known now for starting the 70-miler in Cooperstown. I think this is going to be your 37th start?
Yeah, that's pretty close.
And what is it like?
Sometimes it's frustrating. Sometimes everything works so well. If the Mother Nature doesn't cooperate, like when we used to start in the lake, it was when the fog. That was the worst, you know. And we had one time, came time to start the race, and they weren't all on the line. There was no way to get them there. You know, because if you shot the gun to try to bring people in, then the ones that were on the line would go. So anyway, you know, you'd holler, yelling, and screaming. Nobody could see anything. You know, you could see 20 feet maybe. So came time, and bang goes the gun, and then they knew which way to go. Everybody did. So I got called a few names.
Those guys that are really taking it serious, like the pro race, they start to inch and inch. You know, that must get to be crazy.
They're pretty well trained now. They realize they're not going to go unless they get back. It's beautiful to have everybody within a foot or two. But if you can get a third, maybe a third of a canoe length or less, what I like to do is to keep hollering at them and give them the back paddle and then shoot the gun.
Hey, if they're going to try to get that extra. You also initiated the 700 Mile Club.
Years before that, Cliff Wade mentioned we ought to have some way to give these guys some kind of a patch or whatever for completing 10 times. That hadn't been done yet. So nothing ever happened. And then when I was chairman, then, of course, this thing was kept really multiplying and growing. So that's when I came up with an idea of what to do. We already had the finisher's patch, and so we just adapted it right to it, you know. And then lo and behold, who would ever thought those guys were doing 30s?
I know. And we're up now to 40.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, when it first was, I think it was when you first identified, it was about 13, the very
first year
of identifying. I think
that's what it was. Yeah, there was just a few that had it.
You know, and now there's over 450, you know. That's got to make you feel pretty good.
It's amazing. Nobody ever really realized in the beginning what was going to happen to that thing, how it was going to multiply, expand, you know.
I think the 700 Mile Club,
it's an incentive. It's
an incentive, and it's brought people back time and time again.
Yeah, it got to be a thing people wanted, you know, and if they were really into canoeing. I don't know, a badge of courage or idiocy, I don't know which.
Well, you're a 700 Mile Club member,
idiocy,
right?
See?
You had 9 finishes for a very long time, and why was it so long before getting your 10th?
Well, I started a business in the meantime, and that really started taking up my time. I really couldn't give it what I thought I should, you know, wanted to do. And I had a friend that was just interested in canoeing, wanted to do it, so we knew we were lucky if we finished, but we did. And it's kind of funny because Jim Root, who won this with Al back in the, I guess, 1969, Jim Root came with his wife, I believe, and he did his 10th.
Nice.
And Jim hadn't been paddled for years and years and years. There was a couple, three of us, old timers,
yeah,
you know, out there. And
what year was that you got
your 10th? I think, I don't know, 91 or 2.
Wow. Could you ever imagine it not only growing so big, but to the extent of over 30 states represented every year, Canada, and various countries have sent a person or two along the way? You know, little old Bainbridge.
I couldn't really see that. The only thing that really maybe prompted me to keep pushing was the international in Canada. To see how important it was to them and what the following was. So, you know, we thought, well, we can do this too. As a matter of fact, many years ago, the people from the international came down here trying to find out how we did our amateur and why it was so popular, whereas theirs really never has taken off. It's always the pros. So when you get the mother of all races coming to ask you how you do this, we knew we had something then.
Yeah, and there's so many different categories by age, by type of canoe, male, female. And what do you think of the four-person canoes?
That is a somewhat of an offshoot of the Canadian race. They have a Robasca, they call it. I forgot. There's more than four, though. But they're fun. The canoes are huge. And heavy. I think that's a good thing. Yeah, I really do. You talk about the classes and different types. That was one of the big things back in the late 60s when we finally talked the powers to be into splitting the classes. Really, the folks that started it weren't really into the canoeing, and there was enough of us finally pushed the issue. And they were scared to death. They wasn't going to work. And then what it did, it just boom, boom, it blossomed. That's probably the biggest thing that happened. It was just splitting classes back in right around 1970, and it just grew and grew and grew.
What is your proudest moment, would you say?
I don't think it's just like one moment. It's the, maybe I'll call it the culmination of seeing a lot of happy people. They enjoy what they're doing, you know, and it's a good sport, clean sport. Being a part of letting these people enjoy themselves, it's a moment that keeps going. It's a good feeling.
Congratulations on the honor of being inducted into the Regatta Hall of Fame. Without people like Dave Price, this event would not necessarily be continuing today. Thank you for all you've given to the event.
Sure, you're welcome.
Dave Price, a recent inductee into the Canoe Regatta Hall of Fame. For Regatta 2014, I'm Craig Stevens on WCDO.